All right, welcome to episode number 9 of the Mitch and Nils Bull Show. My name is Mitch, the man to my right, J. Nils. Nils, what up?
Lamborghini Mercy.
What?
Yo, Nils, he's so thirsty.
Swerve. Right, we are back. The Bull Show. This is your look at the Chicago Bulls from a fan perspective. We're not experts. We're not insiders. We're not journalists. But we are two guys that love talking about the Chicago Bulls. And we'll be bringing it to you each and every week. And tell the people where you can find us, Nils.
Hopefully they know the drill by now. But like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at The Bull Show. And go ahead and email any questions or concerns to thebullshow@gmail.com.
But that is not the only place you can find us.
We have a big announcement. This podcast is about to make the leap.
If I had a drum roll sound right now, I'd be doing it right now.
Well, the big announcement is that we're excited to debut this episode on ShyCitySports.com, Chicago's premier sports blog, giving fans the latest news and notes on the city's teams, which, of course, includes your Chicago Bulls.
Now, Shy City Sports is a really, really great website. You can check out news not only on the Bulls, but the Cubs, the Blackhawks, the White Sox, the Fire, the Bears.
Don't forget the Bears.
Don't forget. And you were at Bourbonnais today, right? You
went to
Bourbonnais?
Season's around the corner. We were there for a little bit. I'm liking what I see. I'm seeing there's a buzz in the air. Super Bowl or bust.
Yeah, well, definitely you can check out Shy City Sports. They got news. They've got commentary. It's a really nice website. So I would definitely check that website out, and you'll be able to find us. I think we'll be the top right-hand side. There'll be a little podcast link. You can check us out there.
I'm just glad this transaction got done since it took a couple weeks, I think.
Yeah.
Chris Broussard had leaked the news, and then I think Adrian Wojnarowski.
Did he?
I think he confirmed it.
Really?
Yahoo Sports.
I had no idea.
That's what my sources tell me.
All right. Well, that sounds great. We are going to be back in about 1 minute. Our topics are going to be the 2014 plan. It's something that's been floating around the internet about the Bulls possibly making another run at free agency because it worked out so well in 2010, right?
Do you understand how old we're going to be in 2014? Seriously. Do you understand how long it is from now?
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous that we're going to have to go through this thing again. But we'll be talking about that. We will be talking about the Olympics, and we will also be talking about the schedule that was released today. Pretty excited about that.
Yes, definitely.
Not today, a couple days ago, actually. We're recording on Sunday, so it was like Wednesday or Thursday, something like that?
Sure, I think it was Thursday. It's give some outlook and predictions on the 82-game schedule.
We'll be also talking about your season tickets plan. I know that you split tickets with a buddy, right?
Right. Whenever the schedule drops, that means right around the corner is one of my favorite annual traditions, which is our season ticket draft. So that'll be right around the corner. And, you know, maybe we could solicit some feedback from listeners.
Yeah, I'm going to get you prepared. Don't worry about it. I'm going to get you prepared. You're going to have all the good games. It's going to be great. All right, we will be back in 1 minute. Topic number one, we are going to be talking about the 2014 plan. We'll be back in 1 minute. Topic number one. We are going to be talking about the 2014 plan. I cannot believe that we're going to go through this again.
Apparently, we're conceding that the next two seasons are a wash.
Maybe not that, but conceding that we're not a championship team, so we need to get some more help.
It's sad. It's a tough time being a Bulls fan right now.
Well, let me explain to the listeners what this is. If you haven't been following the Twitter people and all the blogs, there's this thing, this idea, it's not official, called the 2014 plan, where the Bulls are basically going to be building their roster to make a move for a 2014 free agent. At that point, the only guys left on the roster will really be, I guess, Derrick Rose, right?
Right. I would hope.
Yeah, hopefully Derrick Rose will be around. And
Joakim Noah.
Possibly Joakim Noah. All like our rookie kind of guys, Butler and Teague. But guys like Gual Deng will be off our books. All the new bench mob guys we signed will be off the books. Kirk will be off the books.
Presumably Carlos Boozer will be amnestied.
Carlos Boozer or Joakim Noah could be amnestied at that point. And the Bulls will have a lot of money to kind of throw at some free agents.
Right. And I think we should also clear up that this 2014 plan like you said, it's not official.
Nope.
It's very theoretical.
Yep.
The front office is not going to come out and say, look, we're not trying to win these next 2 years and we're playing for a season that's 2 years away.
Nope.
But, you know, it's something that, based on the track record of the Bulls and the recent moves that they've made, this is the position that they're putting themselves in.
Now, let me tell you what the prizes are going to be. Let me tell you about the guys that we could sign if you sign right now, if you sign this 2014 deal right now.
You could
possibly get Carmelo Anthony.
Team Cancer.
Kobe Bryant.
The Black Mamba.
The Miami Big Three, LeBron, Bosh, or Wade.
Not one, not two.
You can get Danny, the biggest fake tough guy ever, Granger.
I have a soundbite for him.
Yeah, sorry. Andrew Bogut.
Good day, mate.
Your racism continues.
What? He's Australian.
I guess it's not racist.
It's not racist.
I'm sorry. Always like me playing the race card. You could actually get a Zach Randolph. Is that at all?
Zebo with the Z bound.
And one of the Gasol brothers, I think Paul Gasol.
Paul, yeah.
Paul Gasol. So, you ready to do it? You ready to sign on to the 2014 plan? We're going to do this again?
Unbelievable. No, I'm withdrawing my I don't know what, but I'm not on board with the 2014 plan.
All right. Well, 2015, 2016, the Bulls also have an opportunity to get a Kevin Love, a possible MVP candidate this year. Definitely was a candidate last year before Rubio got injured.
A.K.A. D. Rose's BFF.
How do we know that? Do we know that for real? I know people were talking about it on Twitter or something, right?
You know, I guess if I'm taking whatever Nick Friedell of ESPN Chicago is tweeting, I'll take if I'm taking that at gospel. He claims that Derrick Rose and Kevin Love are good friends, and you know, there's some truth to that. I know that they have a history of training together in the off season, and maybe that's a guy that Derrick Rose can get his collusion on and kind of reel in to the Windy City.
Well, we could also take a shot at former Bull, LaMarcus Aldridge.
Former Bull for what, all of 2 hours?
But I don't even know if it was 2 hours.
Wait, it was a blockbuster deal.
I think it was like 2 minutes.
Blockbuster deal acquiring the great potential Hall of Famer Tyrus Thomas.
I actually like Tyrus Thomas. Is that bad?
Yeah, well, you also like Ben Gordon, so it doesn't surprise me.
All right, that's not cool.
But okay, so the 2014 plan, in summary, is projected to leave us with a core of Rose, Noah, Gibson, and Mirotić.
Well, that's a question, okay? So if you really want to think about this, do you really want Gibson? Do you want to spend $10 million on a guy like Gibson, or would you rather just kind of have that money to go after one of these guys? Because if you do re-sign Gibson, you're going to be very close. You might not be able to sign a max free agent. You might have a little bit less than that.
Well, given our history of swinging for the fences and missing, i.e. 2010,
yep.
I would much rather retain a player like Taj Gibson rather than take the chance of, again, missing out on a max free agent guy.
Another option you could do is you could trade Noah. You could amnesty Boozer, and you could trade Noah maybe for some draft picks, and then you would have room for maybe two free agents.
I don't like that. I don't like that at all, just because, as I mentioned before we started recording, I could see Taj Gibson and Joakim Noah interchanging in being that third and fourth best player on a championship team.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you got Derrick Rose as a superstar. We just need kind of that second guy. Who, by all accounts, we don't know if Mirotić has that potential. I mean, based on what he's been doing in the EuroLeague, I think he could. Essentially, what I'm trying to say is that I'm fine with the team we have now. I'm okay keeping those four guys and surrounding them with above-average role players.
Yeah.
Not necessarily a max guy that we need to clear the books for, especially with the list that you just presented. No, I'd rather keep these four guys and work it out with, you know, these above average role players.
I think I agree with you. I will say, though, if you are going to try to go after a free agent, you're going to have to hit the reset button. And I think that the 2014 plan only makes sense if you – I think you'd probably want to trade Gibson right now. And I think you probably want to possibly trade Noah.
I hate how you keep saying that you want to trade Noah. I guess
No, I'm not saying that I want to trade Noah.
Right, but
I'm saying that if this 2014 plan is to work, mm-hmm. if you really want to go at it, you need to go at it like you did, like the Heat did, where the Heat basically cleared the decks,
right,
got rid of all their players, and then had a ton of money, the most money possible, to throw around at free agents. That's what I'm saying. I'm not giving support to it. I'm just saying if you want this to work, you can't do it halfway.
I guess I'm just being a little protective over Noah just because he, I guess they call it the car wash when you go out to ESPN and you go through all those shows and all those circuits. And I saw him on Dan Le Batard's Highly Questionable. He was on SportsCenter. And I just love that dude.
Nah, he's probably my favorite Bull.
And I don't want to lose someone like that who embodies the spirit of the fan base.
Definitely.
And just being a hardworking blue collar guy. So you know I'm ready to ride with this team of Rose, Noah, Gibson, Mirotić, and surrounding them with marginally better players.
And you talked about rolling the dice. Do you think the Bulls have a problem with free agents? Do you think? I mean, we talked about this a little bit.
I mean, I think that historically speaking, yes. I think that if you date back to 2000 when they missed on guys like Grant Hill, Tim Duncan, Tracy McGrady. Fast forward to more recent times in 2010, obviously missing the big three. And then just last year, I should say ongoing currently, a guy like Dwight Howard, who doesn't have Chicago on his short list of top destinations, which is just surprising to me given that we are in a big market. We have the pedigree, the legacy of the six championships. We have a proven superstar in Derrick Rose, a proven coach in Tom Thibodeau. I don't know what it is, but I think that there is. I don't know what's causing it, but I think there is a problem with us attracting free agents.
Well, we do know that Dwight Howard is an insane person. So there's that. He's likely bipolar.
So I guess he's been excused.
Yeah. But I would take it like this. I think it's more individual guys have decided not to come. I don't think the Bulls have a huge free agent problem. I mean, they signed Ben Wallace. That was a huge signing. People look at it and think, Ben Wallace.
In hindsight, you can say that it was a bad idea.
Yeah, but at the time, he was the premier rebounder and defender in the league who just won a championship.
And he fit under the Scott Skiles mold,
right.
Schemes of being, you know, hard-nosed and creating a defensive environment.
Yeah, so there is that guy, but I don't know if the Bulls have a problem. One thing I can say, though, is I think the Bulls would have a lot better shot at getting a free agent if they got Derrick Rose on the recruiting train.
Well, we know that he's not the most eloquent speaker. He might not be the most convincing dude. But, you know, I mean, that's just him. That's his personality. Maybe he changed. That's why I was pretty disappointed. One of the more underrated aspects of Derrick Rose not being able to participate in the Olympics, which, you know, it might be my personal opinion.
You're all over this.
Which we obviously know that if there was collusion performed by the big three in Miami that originated in the 2008 Olympics in Beijing, Derrick Rose could have got his secret handshake agreement on under the table negotiations with a guy like Kevin Love.
Well, we got Luol Deng there.
I mean, sign me up for Michael Petras in 2014. I mean, are we going to bring over
Joel Freeland,
Kevin Serafin? I mean, I think that's what's disappointing. You know, you look at the team camaraderie that's being created and on this 2012 Olympic team. You see the guys always hanging out, posting photos on Twitter, and
it looks like a really fun time.
Right? They just look like a bunch. Like there is so much bromance going on in that trip. That I would have loved to seen Derek be out there and actually show, I don't know, some personality and be able to get buddy-buddy with some of these guys. I mean, you look at a guy like, I don't know, James Harden. I mean, he could be a guy that potentially becomes available. I mean, he's going to be a restricted free agent in a couple years, or maybe it's next year. I think that, you know, to feed to your point about Derek wanting to recruit, you know, he might have been a little limited this year because of his injury and not being able to be out in those type of environments.
Well, I just hope, you know, wrapping things up, we do not have to deal with another 2010 situation. That was horrible. That was a horrible, horrible, horrible time in my life.
I do not
want to. The time of the Bulls, and I do not want to go through that again.
I do not want to take that trip down memory lane where I remember I sat there at a bar listening to The Decision. I basically told everyone to quiet down so I could hear that LeBron was taking his talents to South Beach.
Now, before that, did you think he was going to Chicago?
I was absolutely convinced. In fact, that was the driving force behind me purchasing 100-level season tickets to the Bulls. Because I was convinced that LeBron was coming to Chicago.
YOLO! But it worked out for you, right? I mean, the Bulls became a elite team even without having that LeBron or Wade.
Well, no one saw Derrick Rose making
the leap.
That jump.
The leap.
Making the leap.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it definitely worked out for me. I just hope we don't have to go through that again where expectations are set so high, yet we fall flat on our face.
Well, speaking of expectations, topic number two, we will be talking about the Olympic basketball squad. Stepping away from the Bulls a little bit, we'll come back to them in topic number three. But we will be talking about the Olympics in about 1 minute.
I think we have a pretty big debate coming up.
I'm not worried.
I'm worried. Because you're about to get embarrassed.
You should see this face, America. I look calm. I look cool. My shoulders are rolling. I feel good. I'm going to take this guy out.
Here we go. Ding, ding, ding.
All right, guys.
One fight.
All right, topic number two, the Olympics, coming up in about 1 second. Topic number two, we're going to be talking about the Olympics.
Which is actually going on in the background. Mitch, tell them what we're watching right now.
We're watching men's handball.
That's that is false.com.
We're watching, I don't even want to go there.
We're watching a little gymnastics.
We're watching women's gymnastics.
And we're cheering our representatives.
Our 50-year-olds, hold on.
We're cheering them on. Just leave it at that.
I feel like...
This is not shycitysports.com.
I'm just saying.
Who knows who's listening?
All right.
Stay in our lane.
All right.
Topic number two.
Topic number two will be the Olympics. Thank you, Nils, for keeping me out of jail. Topic number two, we will be talking about the Olympic basketball team. Today was the first day of, preliminary play.
Sure.
Before the playoffs, I guess, or whatever tournament they're having.
What did they do?
They dispatched a France.
The Joakim Noah-less French team.
Yes, but a talented France team.
Sure, sure.
They brought like two guys from the NBA off the bench, so they're a good team.
Right. Four out of the five starters were from the NBA.
Yes. So they've got a good squad. United States took them out. Game really was never that close. It wasn't like a 50-point Angola.
The first quarter was only
They're about five.
Game.
Were they a one? Okay.
No, it was a 1-point game, but you know, Team USA went on the run. When they get out in transition, they're pretty much unstoppable.
And the defense looked really well. That's what I thought. I mean, they with their versatility, they can basically guard anybody in this tournament. So
it looks like, at least from the first game, that LeBron is going to be a facilitator, and KD Durantula is just going to light it up.
He's the man. He's the number one. Alpha dog, whatever you want to call it, team.
That's the formula for success in this tournament.
Yeah. So not only did they beat France, but also earlier, before Olympic play officially started, they were also able to dispatch of Spain and Argentina. The Argentina game was a little close. I think people were a little bit worried. We talked about that a little bit, I think, last week.
Right. They won by 6 points.
But they definitely did much better against Spain.
Well, I will caveat the Spain victory, even though they won, I think, by 22 points. Marc Gasol wasn't healthy.
Yep.
Did he even play? Or did he come out earlier in the game?
I'm not sure he even played.
And what I found interesting that actually Chris Sheridan of SheridanHoops.com had mentioned, this Spanish team didn't have Pau Gasol and Serge Ibaka out there at the same time until the very end of the game when they were already down 20. So being that it was an exhibition game, you could tell that they were, withholding some resources. They didn't want to show all their cards right away because it didn't really matter in the grand scheme of things. A similar thing happened in the 2010 World Basketball Championships where during the exhibition game, U.S. blew out Spain, and then in the, I guess, gold medal game, the championship game, it was a much closer game. U.S. only won by two to four points.
Yeah, I do think, though, it does help to beat your opponent. Knowing that you can beat that team, I mean, just from my, I guess, experience,
right,
my limited athletic experience, it always feels good to know that you can beat a team.
But at the same time, they beat a team that is not going to be the team that they play later down the road. And what I mean
is
the lineups are going to be different. You're going to have a front line of the Gasol brothers and Serge Ibaka, which apparently didn't show up at all during the exhibition game. So I think it's still going to be hotly contested.
Well, speaking of front lines, I think the USA team is doing something really interesting with playing LeBron essentially at center. Right. They did that. Usually their first substitution, they sub out Tyson Chandler and they bring in Carmelo Anthony.
Right.
When Carmelo Anthony was subbing, that was not starting, they would sub out Tyson Chandler with Kevin Durant. But they're playing a lot of the first quarter into the second quarter with this, you know, LeBron, Durant, Carmelo, and guard lineup, which is, I think, just sick.
Chris Paul and Kobe.
Yeah, Chris Paul, Kobe.
I mean, it looks good now because they're winning. They haven't lost yet. I don't think they will lose. But it does raise some concerns. When you go small like that, you know, if you don't create transition opportunities, it's going to really hurt you. Especially, obviously, on the boards. And then it becomes an issue of not being able to get it into the paint, especially when teams go zone. And what ends up happening is the U.S. team ends up living and dying by the three, which happened in the Argentina game.
But here's the thing about it. Yeah, if you're not going to hit your threes, you're not going to win. But we say the U.S. team is going, quote-unquote, small mm-hmm. with LeBron, Carmelo, and Durant.
Right.
But that's really a seven-footer, a 6'10" guy, and a 6'9" guy, which is the same size as everybody else's team.
Right.
It's just those guys are so versatile. No, seriously, those guys are so versatile that they have perimeter skills. They're not small. They're big players.
But you're not going to see Durant, you know, bruising guys down low. Just because he's a seven-footer doesn't mean he's actually playing that position or playing that role of a big man.
Yeah, but they can rebound just like these big. I don't think that this I don't think that there's anybody in this Olympics that are going to punish the USA team for that lineup. I just don't think that's going
to
happen.
And that's where I disagree. I think that there's going to be a point in time where they're unable to get the ball inside the paint, and they're going to start missing their first couple shots. They're going to get tight, and things will be interesting. I think they're still going to pull it out.
Why don't you be real about it? Just say you think they're going to lose. Say you think they're going to lose the game.
I think that it's going to be closer. Right now, the way that you're portraying it is that it's going to be a cakewalk. And
it will.
That there's not going to be another team that punishes them. And I don't think that's going to be the case. I think that it's going to be a hard-fought gold medal game, whether it be against Argentina, whether it be against Spain. I think that it's not going to be as easy.
Double-digit victory.
We'll see.
We will see. What we won't see is the 1992 team face off against the 2012 team.
I can't believe I'm about to participate in this argument just to dignify this discussion.
All right, tell me what the argument.
Debate.
Tell me about what this argument is.
So, and feel free to jump in and correct me if I'm wrong.
I will. Don't worry.
But you are saying if you take a top five lineup.
If this is a real, let's say this is a real game. 1992 versus 2012. It's not an exhibition.
Right.
The best players play the most minutes.
And some of our original fans might be thinking, all right, we're rehashing the argument from, I think it was episode 2, episode 3, what have you. But now this is a little different because we now know the rosters.
Mm-hmm.
Or we didn't know them a few months back. And you're saying if you take a five-man lineup, and you'll be able to present your lineup in a little bit, versus my five-man lineup from the 92 Dream Team, at that particular moment in their careers versus right now, you'd say that the five-man 2012 Olympic team lineup would beat the Dream Team lineup.
Yes.
Am I right?
Yes. I don't think they're – and then let me start off. This is my first point. The 1992 lineup featured 11 Hall of Fame players and is the greatest accumulation of talent that there has ever been in basketball history.
Sure, they were deep.
You just don't get any better than the, I mean, when Chris Mullin is your 11th best player, if Christian Leiter, the greatest college player of all time, is your 12th best player, you have a great team. But on the other hand, with the versatility this American team has now, don't see how the Dream Team guards this team.
All right. Give me your five-man lineup. Let me write this down, and I'm going to tell you. I'm going to write it down. I'm going to tell you. I'm going to break down player by player how we're going to lock you up.
Well, the end of the game, I think you end with either Paul or Williams. Doesn't matter.
No, because pick one. Pick
because
one.
You're not going to be able to guard the Dream Team is not going to be able to guard both. But
okay.
Darren Williams, all right?
All right, Darren Williams is your one.
No, I'll go Chris Paul. I'll go Chris Paul.
Now you're flip-flopping.
Chris Paul.
Go ahead.
Kobe Bryant.
Okay.
Kevin Durant.
Do you think the listeners can hear me typing this in the background?
I don't know. Probably.
This is how I know I'm focused right now.
Carmelo Anthony. LeBron James. Championship!
First of all, good luck getting your rebounds against my team.
Okay.
All right, let me break it down like
okay.
I said.
Okay, LeBron James is just as big as anybody on that team.
All right, first of all, I'm going to go ahead and highlight Kobe Bryant and delete him. Instead of hitting backspace, the bunch should be labeled the greatest of all time, Michael Jordan. So
I'm fine with that.
Kobe's gone. All right, you know, you did throw me for a little loop. You did throw me for a little loop because I was expecting that you'd at least have one five out there.
No.
But this is a new,
and I'm not going to lie right now, you know, this is a podcast. It's all audio. It's not video. You look a little nervous. I threw something at you.
Okay.
A lot of butts, a lot of homes. Like, go ahead.
Let me get my coach nose on.
You need some water?
No, I'm fine. All right. I got my water right here.
All right.
I'm putting on Chris Paul. The all-time leader in steals, Mr. John Stockton.
Okay, all
right? So let's call that a
wash. You're good there.
I'm up 2-1 on you. I'm already up 2-1 on you.
How are you up 2-1?
Because I got Jordan over Kobe.
Okay.
2-1. Is my math wrong?
No, we only talked about two players.
All right, so I'm saying 2-1.
You're up 1-0. It's a wash.
Okay, 1-0. 1-0, okay. Right? All right, so now we're down to 3. All right, Carmelo Anthony, you know, he's a guy that I wasn't expecting to be in this lineup. I was expecting Tyson Chandler.
See? Yeah.
But instead of throwing David Robinson at him, I'm putting Karl Malone on him. I'm going to muscle him. And he's not going to get on the block, and he's not going to be able to muscle Karl Malone down low like that.
Good luck putting Karl Malone on an island with the best mid-range scorer in the NBA.
Carmelo Anthony, we know, is a bully and just bulldozes his way into the paint, gets some mid-range jumpers.
The man can't shoot?
He can shoot, but they're not going to be easy. And when they don't start falling, then who's going to rebound for you?
Karl Malone in 1992 was not used to playing a guy like Carmelo Anthony. He was used to playing a guy who backed down.
At best, I'll give you a wash. But we'll table that. We'll table that for the end.
Okay. Go ahead. All right.
So now this guy, I think you would think that you already have the advantage over because he's just tailor-made for this team in terms of, you know, international ball. He poses problems as a 6'11", 7-footer, lanky, perimeter-oriented assassin. And I'm talking about Kevin Durant.
Okay.
But I throw the greatest sidekick of all time on him, Mr. Scottie Pippen. All
right.
And you know why I know that Scottie Pippen is going to put him on lock?
Okay.
Hold on. First of all, you could say that Scottie Pippen was a top five defensive player of all time. You could say that Scottie Pippen was a top five defensive player of all time. Yes or no?
Yes, I agree.
While Kevin Durant was still able to get his buckets against a guy like Shane Battier in the 2012 NBA Finals, Shane Battier did a tremendous job of being able to push Kevin Durant away from his spots, make him catch the ball out of his comfort zone,
so
he really could make him work.
So he could hit threes. Okay, maybe he made him work, but he certainly didn't do anything.
And Shane Battier, Scottie Pippen?
No.
Now you ask, you take Shane Battier. If Shane Battier can be just a little bit effective against Kevin Durant, where Scottie Pippen is in all likelihood stronger than Shane Battier, more athletic, especially in 92, can guard him on the perimeter, can muscle him out of, outside the paint. I don't think Kevin Durant is that effective.
I want you to take a sip of water. Okay. I want you to take a sip of water.
I'm foaming at the mouth right now.
Take a sip of your life water. Do you? And I want you to just clear your mind.
Yeah.
Do you think that there is a human on earth that can shut down Kevin Durant?
I'm not saying he's going to be shut down, but he's not going to be putting up points like he is right now.
Okay, who guards LeBron?
Easy.
Uh-oh.
Easy.
Uh-oh. Chris Mullin.
The round mound of rebound, Charles Barkley.
Charles Barkley is 6'1". Charles Barkley, how is Charles Barkley going to guard LeBron? Come on, guys. I want you guys.
First, hold on.
All right.
Give me an opportunity to state my case.
I'm going
to
give you some time.
All right. Mr. Sir Charles.
Sir Charles.
1992. The following year, he became the NBA's most valuable player.
Great player.
On the Dream Team, he was their leading scorer.
Most definitely.
And if there is a way that you're going to contain LeBron James, you're going to have to do something that Oklahoma City was not able to do. And that's keep him out of the paint.
Mm-hmm.
You're telling me that a guy like LeBron James is going to get through a wall like Charles Barkley, who, while, you know, he might not be the most athletic afoot, and he was maybe wider than he was athletic, he was still a guy that posed a presence down low and would keep LeBron James more on the perimeter. If you're saying that this five-man unit of yours is going to be able to beat this five-man dream team unit of mine based on LeBron shooting jump shots and Carmelo Anthony shooting jump shots, I'm okay with that.
That's true. I mean, obviously it's going to be a tough game. But I think, let's talk about that last matchup. Charles Barkley actually was very athletic at that point. I don't think he was like, people kind of talked about how he was a round man, but he was very athletic.
Right.
The problem is that he's 7 inches shorter than LeBron James.
So,
when LeBron James is playing him, he won't even be able to see Charles Barkley. Because Charles Barkley would be so short. He won't go over him.
He shoots jump shots all day. That's what I want as a coach. I want LeBron shooting jumpers.
I don't know if Charles Barkley's going to be able to stay in front of LeBron.
How are you going to get any rebound? You're basically saying
my
that
team is just as big as yours.
No, but they're not playing inside. Kevin Durant doesn't play inside. Look at Carmelo's rebounding stats. Does he get rebounds?
He's an alright rebound. He's not a bad rebound. I think he averages.
We already know that Kobe's not doing anything against Jordan.
You have, and then here's the thing about it. We talked about, you know, how the Dream Team is just too big inside, right? I've granted you the backcourt. You're gonna have problems in the front court. My main point is that I just don't see the Dream Team really matching up with the physical versatility that those three or four guys bring.
I wouldn't say physical. I would say versatility.
Versatility. In 1992, you did not see these hybrid players who were the size of Karl Malone,
right?
But play like a Reggie Miller or play like a more athletic player. You just didn't see that.
And the players have evolved.
And maybe it's just the evolution of the game.
Mm-hmm.
I will never argue that the 1992 players don't have more of a resume. They aren't greater players. But if they rolled the ball out today, unless Jordan just goes ham for 48 minutes, I just don't see it.
But your logic is the same. You're basically saying that Carmelo, LeBron, and Durant are just going to be shooting 90% from the field, which, you know, is not going to be the case. I don't know how they get any rebounds. It works both ways. While, you know, we might be able to, I say we like I'm on the dream team, but you know, my team might not be able to keep up with you guys in transition, but in all honesty, I don't think you guys have that many transition opportunities. I don't think you guys are able to rebound the ball and outlet it out and be able to score easy buckets.
I think
we continue and it becomes a grinded out half-court game.
I think the 2012 team will out-rebound that team. They're bigger and they're faster and they're stronger.
They're not bigger.
Height-wise, they are bigger.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean... So, Brooke Lopez is 7'1". He doesn't rebound at all.
You're right, but do you really think LeBron's not going to rebound?
Well, let's hear it from hopefully our new large fan base.
I don't even care what they say.
We're going to cater to our audience.
You can email if you want to. I can.
Well, I guess we'll wrap up this section by saying... We agree to disagree.
We agree to disagree.
Even though I'm right.
All right. All right, we're going to move on to topic number three. We're going to be talking about the schedule, breaking it down. It was released a few days ago. We are very excited to see it. We're going to be making some plans for you. You got the season tickets.
The draft coming up.
We'll
give you the logistics of that, and we'll be back.
We'll be back with more Bull Show. As let's finish it up. Topic number three, we're going to be talking about the NBA, actually, the Bulls schedule. It was released a few days ago. We know what the Bulls are going to be doing. When you first clicked on that schedule, Nils, what did you think?
That there were a full 82 games.
There are full 82 games. That's exciting.
Just because, you know, last year we came off that lockout shortened season of only 66 games. And I was excited because we actually have premier teams from the Western Conference like the Lakers, the Clippers, the Thunder, who didn't come to the United Center last year, now making their annual stop.
And that was a really underrated, I think, theme from last year. I think a lot of people actually enjoyed the 66-game schedule. There were games almost every single day.
The fans enjoyed it. I wouldn't say the players did.
But what you like you said, as a season ticket holder, somebody who goes to see the Bulls, you weren't able to see a lot of the great players. So we got that now.
Right, exactly. And, you know, another aspect of this schedule for the Bulls is that it's based on last year's win-loss records. They have the easiest schedule. That's a product of the Central Division being so weak. I do think that's a bit, misleading, because obviously teams have made improvements.
Cleveland will be better. Toronto will be better.
Right.
Who's the other team in our division? Detroit.
I don't think even Toronto's in our division anymore.
That's right.
Milwaukee, Indiana.
Right, it's not Toronto. It's Milwaukee. Milwaukee figures to be about the same. They added John Henson. Not a lot of free agency.
Another. Now that Monta Ellis is now with the team,
yeah.
I mean, that could be a pretty deadly backcourt with, drawing a blank here, Brandon Jennings.
Yep.
But with that being said, I think that the main point of interest with the schedule coming out is, when's Derek coming back?
When is Derek coming back? Well, let's do the math. There have been reports saying 12 months. There have been reports saying 8 months.
It's ranged anywhere from January through March. Which, you know, right now, being that it's, you know, only the end of July, seems like an eternity. But, you know, we don't know, but we can definitely try to make some predictions.
Okay, we will. But let me take you a step back. Season starts Halloween against the Kings.
Right. We might have to do something special for that, a special Bulls show episode.
Maybe we'll do a Bulls live show.
Let's get that set up. Have your people talk to my people.
That's how it starts off. And then we have the circus trip. And the circus trip is not as bad as it once was.
Right. For listeners who might not be in the know or might not be as familiar with the circus trip, basically, it's called the circus trip because I think some circus comes to town. Literally a circus comes to town.
Ringham, Barlow, Bay, Brothers,
Smothers. I think I went to it when I was little. I remember like a bunch of elephants rolling around like Chicago Stadium.
I think a circus is super weird.
Right.
Like, I don't understand.
It would have been cool. Like,
the point of a circus, but that's
a trip. And so it usually happens towards the end of November, and the Bulls are essentially evicted from their home temporarily. And usually it's a gauntlet. It's murderer's row of Western Conference teams.
We usually go through all of the Texas teams.
Right.
Face the California teams.
Right. And this year, it's a bit different. We have on the schedule Phoenix, now featuring Luis Scola. We got Blake Griffin and the Clippers, the Portland Trailblazers, Houston Rockets featuring our fallen benchmark brother, Omer Sheik, and the Milwaukee Bucks. So you look at the surface, these are all teams that, you know, aren't exactly tough, and I would expect the Bulls to go anywhere from 3-2 to 2-3, even without Derrick Rose?
Well, that's the good thing about the schedule. It seems if the circus ship is not that bad, and the beginning of the season, it seems as if the Bulls will be able to face some of their easiest schedule. But I agree with you. They can go 3-2 on the circus ship. That would be good. And the schedule looks really good until the time Derrick Rose comes back.
Right, right. You know, it seems like the Bulls should be able to weather the storm. A lot of our tough games are towards the latter part of the season. And, you know, hopefully we can not dig ourselves too deep of a hole while we wait for the dark rose to rise.
Now, I know we're talking a lot about this, but I kind of question the premise that Derrick Rose comes back. I don't really think it's set in stone that he comes back this season. I look at the moves the Bulls have made in free agency. They definitely didn't go for broke. Mm-hmm. I think it's a pretty good chance that they just don't bring him back.
You know, I think it's all going to depend on, obviously, his health and you know, how far along he is with his rehab, but also our record. If we are, I don't know, below 500 team and he might be on the fringe of coming back, I could see management being like, let's shut him down for the year.
So what do you do? If the Bulls are fighting for an eighth seed, it's February, there are 30, 40 more games to go, do you bring him back?
If I were in the front office, no. I'd shut him down, but I don't think that's going to happen. A lot of it is because the reason being, I look back at a situation when I was 3 years old, when Jordan had that broken foot, and he was advised by the front office to shut it down for a year. But Jordan, being the maniacal competitor that he is, said, no, I'm playing. And I don't want you to restrict my minutes. I'm coming back towards the season. I know that we're not, you know, title contenders, but I'm playing. And that was the year they dropped 63 in the Garden. So I see this a very similar situation happening where even if the front office were to tell Derrick Rose, look, you're done. We don't want to bring you back. It's too big of a risk. I can see Derrick saying, look, I'm healthy. I feel good. I need to be out there.
All right. So is there any scenario that you want to rush Derrick back? Let's say the Bulls are a third seed. Do you think that the Bulls might try to rush him back?
No. No. You know, you definitely want to proceed with caution. Every time I hear about, you know, rushing players back from injury, the first guy that pops in my head is Greg Oden. And I definitely don't want a situation like that where he came back too soon, he was feeling the pressure. We talked about the 2014 plan in the first segment. This is a long-term outlook here. There's no need to get him back on the court if there isn't an immediate return.
Well, if we haven't sunk your ticket values already enough, let's talk about the schedule in terms of what games you're going to be going to. So once again, give us a little bit of the rundown of what happens.
All right. So the backstory is, as I mentioned before, season ticket holder.
Yep.
Every year, me and my buddy / business partner, you know, like to have a draft over a few beverages. It could get pretty late tonight. And for those who are listening under 21, we like to have a lot of apple juice.
Yeah, a lot of apple juice. With vodka in it.
You just ruined my joke.
Wait, okay. I just thought
I mean, it was a bad joke, but okay. It works.
That's what I thought we did. But
and it basically goes in snake order format where, you know, we flip a coin to see who has a first round pick. And we go back and forth making these picks. And of course, once that's been determined, I essentially have my 22-23 home games. He has his 22-23 home games. And we go our separate ways. You know, we do whatever we want with the games. We go to them. We sell them. So definitely look for as the season comes up, probably some spam hitting the Bulls show Facebook wall and Twitter feed.
Basically,
sell some tickets.
This podcast is a big, huge, elaborate ruse to get Neil's tickets sold. But
I'll tell you what, last year with the Bulls, you know, coming off that Eastern Conference Finals loss, tickets sold like hotcakes. It was insane. Tickets were gone within a half hour once I made them public. I don't sell all my tickets because I still want to go to games. I'm worried that this year might be a nuclear winner.
Well, let me tell you the game that you gotta have. I'm gonna give you one game that you gotta have, your first pick, and I'm gonna give you the game that if you have, you lost the draft.
Okay. Ready? Yeah, I like this.
All right.
Go ahead.
March 2nd, You know who's coming down? Coming to town?
The Miami Heat?
No.
Who's that?
Brooklyn.
Brooklyn
Zoo. Yes. I think that
why
is...
Why is Brooklyn big draw?
I just love to see the fact that there may be another great team. We know Miami. We've seen them for 2 years. Mm-hmm. We know what's going on. The Bulls have done pretty well against them. Certainly have not been able to beat them in the playoffs, but have done very well against them. This new Brooklyn team, new jerseys,
right.
New team.
Jay-Z might be there.
Jay-Z might be in the building. I think, you know, Beyonce might be in the building. I think that's the game to go to. I'm really excited about that team. And here's the thing. That's right near the trade deadline.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? You might have Dwight Howard on that squad.
Don't get people's hopes up like that.
It's not the Nets show.
You know what, though? It's funny that you mentioned that, because as I'm looking at the schedule, if I had to predict possible games that Derrick Rose might be at or might actually play, I should say, I think that Brooklyn game could be one of them. The reason why I say that is...
And you remember last time Brooklyn was in... Not Brooklyn, but the Nets were in Chicago?
Yeah, that was when I won my tickets.
Yes, exactly.
Right, when I made that three-pointer.
Exactly. So it's magic. You got to go back.
Well, I don't want to even go into that story. But if I'm looking at the schedule, I would expect that Derrick Rose would come back during a stretch where it's mostly home games, a homestand, so that he's still comfortable. He's slowly getting in the swing of things and against relatively bad teams so that there's not any pressure. And, you know, the two games before that, they're playing Cleveland and Philadelphia, likely eighth seeds at best. And then that Saturday is that Brooklyn game. So I think that, you know, that's definitely going to be high on my list. I feel like the first two picks are always Miami games, just for resale value alone.
Well, I'm telling you, man, if it's about the game, go with Brooklyn.
All right.
Let me tell you the game that you should not go with.
Okay.
Okay. I'm looking at New Year's Eve.
I know where you're going with this.
This Bobcats game.
Way to bring in the new year, huh?
I don't know if you want to bring in the new year with the Charlotte Bobcats.
Bring in the new year with Tyrus Thomas and your boy, 9th episode in a row making an appearance on the show. Go ahead.
Ben Jordan Gordon.
So what you're trying to say is that you're going to be bringing in the new year with the Bobcats. I'm going to see you at that game.
Basically,
going crazy in the 300 level.
Basically, I was just trying to trick you. That's what you said in that game. But really cheap. So I can see my boy Ben Gordon.
You know, one of my favorite parts about the season ticket draft that I have with my buddy / business partner is that, you know, with the excessive consumption of apple juice.
With vodka in it.
Towards the end.
Or rum, I mean.
Towards the end, we don't even know what we're picking. And I think my goal is to have them pick these Bobcats games without even knowing what it's... And to, like, sell them on them.
How do we play up the Bobcats? First, well, we got Ben Gordon, right?
My tactic is going to be they're owned by Jordan. Maybe he makes an appearance.
Maybe he's there. They have really nice jerseys. I think they're having new jerseys next year.
Don't they look exactly like the Mavericks jerseys?
I don't know.
I'll be like, dude, looks like it's the Mavericks.
Yeah,
it's the Mavericks. we could use that as a stretch. But, you know, in all seriousness, though, another game that's going to be high on my list.
What's up?
Omer All Ye Faithful. Santa Sheik is coming to town.
Okay. Does Omer get booed when he comes back?
I hope not. It was a situation where Houston just threw him an offer that he couldn't refuse.
He's getting money.
Get paid, Omer. Get what's yours.
Get your biscuits.
Paul Pierce in the building. Where are the biscuits at?
Where are the biscuits at?
I feel like I need to go to the boss game just so I can heckle Paul Pierce. If you guys don't know, Paul Pierce released or tweeted that he was hitting up Red Lobster. And what was the exact tweet? Do you remember?
I forgot, but it ended with...
It was like... Hitting up their Red Lobster with their biscuits at.
So this is what we have to do. Mark it down. I'd like to go with you. We're dressing up like biscuits.
I'm not going to hate on Paul Pierce because have you had those biscuits? They're delicious.
They do be delicious.
They're delicious. But going back to December 25th, Christmas Day game, I think what's also special about that is it's the first time in 15 years that the Bulls are hosting a Christmas Day game.
That is awesome.
At the United Center.
And it was shocking to me that the Bulls even got a Christmas Day game. You would think that without Derrick Rose that, you know, there are only 5 Christmas Day games. That means there are 10 teams. there could be a right. thought that they don't even play on Christmas.
Sure, sure, right, right. So, you know, I think we got, you know, some obvious games on the radar to try and pick, and the games that we're trying to avoid. And the apple juice draft, is probably going to go down in a matter of a week or so. So maybe next episode I'll give you an update.
I'll give you $25 for the Bobcast.
we'll see what we can work out.
All right, guys. Well, that will be it. We are done with episode number 9 of the Mitch and Nils Bull Show. Don't forget that you can check us out on iTunes. You can check us out on ShotCitySports.com. And you can also check us out on the website, The Bull Show, I think, .podomatic.com.
Like us on Facebook.
.com. Yes, like us on Facebook. I don't know
if you did. Follow us on Twitter.
Follow us on Twitter.
Shout out to Nick Verdell for retweeting us.
Yeah, you're the man, Nick.
Jumping up our followers from 60 to 30 in a matter of minutes.
Yeah, 60 to 90.
Sorry, 60 to by 30, right.
Also, comment on the iTunes. Give us a review. Say something positive if you don't like the show.
Even if you don't, just lie.
Just lie. We're good guys. We're really nice guys.
We mean well. We're fans. We're fans just like you.
All right, guys. Well, that is it. Bull Show done. We will be back next week. What are we going to talk about?
We're going to talk about where the biscuits be at.
Where the biscuits at? All right, guys. That's it.
See you next week.
Peace.